here. I am too. And let's just pray it holds out for the entire service. Today I want to do another sermon on the series that I have been doing. And that is, It Is a Wonderful Life. Anybody watch that movie this year yet? A couple? You need to. All right. Today we'll be talking about It's a Wonderful Life If You Have Integrity. If you have integrity. And popular culture really celebrates people that don't really have integrity, who cut corners. And it's not only popular culture, but people who don't bend the rules. I mean, that they don't apply to them rules to themselves. They bend the rules, and they seem to get away with things. They live with their life without integrity, and it seems that they're applauded and even encouraged to do so. I mean, think about it in the sales force. Sales people overpromise and underdeliver, and that's seen as, oh, that's okay. Applicants on jobs, they exaggerate in their interview and on their resume, their educational level, or what they have done in their lives. CEOs overstate projected earnings. Teachers have affairs with students. Spouses walk away from their commitments, and even preachers exaggerate about their churches. It is in every area of life that integrity is lacking. And if there's one thing that we need to be, it is people of integrity. Now you think about it in this manner. When we cut moral corners, there's always one person that knows that we are being dishonest. And that is the person that is looking back at you in the mirror in the morning. So we need to understand, if we're going to live lives above reproach, then we need to live with integrity. Stand with me as I read out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness." And today it's about faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Father, I pray that you would just take the word of God today and help us to examine our lives to see if we are men and women of character and integrity, and if we are not, that we would become those type of people to please you and also to be an example to the world, to an unbelieving world. And Father, we can't expect them to believe us if we don't do what's right. So Father, I pray that you would just give us wisdom and guidance today, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I guess if we're going to discuss integrity, the very first thing we need to do is really define integrity. What is integrity? What is integrity? Well, I looked it up. The Oxford Dictionary says it is the quality of being honest and having a strong moral principle. The second definition under that is the state of being whole and undivided. As I thought about that, that means that we're complete people. We're whole people. We're not divided people. We are people that are sound of mind and sound of heart. We're people who keep commitments. That's what integrity means. It means that you'll say it and that you'll follow up by doing it, regardless if the circumstances in which you said you would do this have changed. You continue to be a person of your word. You don't back up and you don't back out. And you continue doing the things that God's called you to do. You continue living the life that the Lord has laid out for us in His holy word, that we become committed to truthfulness, and we become committed to faithfulness. We become committed to doing the right thing regardless of what. It means that we will walk the talk that we say. It means that we'll not only say something, but we'll follow through. In fact, in the book of Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, you have these words: "Most men will proclaim every one of his own goodness." Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm truthful. I'm faithful. I'm honest. You can trust me. But the question that the Proverbs ask is, a faithful man who can find? Who can find someone that is truly faithful, that will do what they say every single time? I mean, the Bible answers that question for us. And as I were looking back in the past few weeks over the Old and New Testament, I began doing a word search for the word faithful. and how it's attached to the name of a person. And if it was attached to the name of a person, I pulled that scripture out and looked at it, and then I used it. I was amazed to find what I found. In the Old Testament, how many people do you think, in the context of the word faithful, their name's used? Guess how many I found? Five. Only five. And it was somewhat shocking to me. Daniel was one. Hananiah was one. Moses was one. Samuel was one, and Abraham was one. Those are the only people in the Old Testament that had that title attached to their name. And I did the search in the New Testament, and I only came up with eight names in the New Testament that have the word faithfulness applied to their name as well. And there's Lydia, there's Timothy, there's Paul, there's Tychicus, there's Epaphras, there's Onesimus, and Silvanus, and Antipas. You say, who are those people? That's right. I mean, it's pretty amazing. You would have thought Matthew, Mark, Luke. You would have thought all of these other people that are better known, Peter, the apostles. But no, the word faithful was not connected with their name. So you know what that teaches me? That teaches me this, that being a person of character and integrity is not the same thing as being popular or well-known. It means that all of us can have that attached to our name, faithful, a man or a woman of character, a man or woman of integrity. And it doesn't have to be we're great, but it means that we are faithful. Found this interesting. I heard it in a sermon, and then I looked it up to verify it, and I don't know how many of you know the name Warren Buffett, probably almost everybody here, and he is the Oracle of Omaha, if you research him, and he's been a man of integrity his entire life, and he said, I look for three things when I hire somebody to come to work for me. He said, I look for intelligence, I look for energy, and I look for integrity. Intelligence, energy, and integrity. And he said, if they don't have the integrity, the first two don't matter. So in other words, if you're not a person of high caliber, a person of integrity, a person of character, then it doesn't matter how much energy you have, how much intellect you have, because you will fail. Integrity is not our reputation. Integrity is not our success. Integrity is this. It's not something you have, it is what you are. We are to be men of integrity. Now, how do we become these men? How do we become this person of integrity? I mean, if that's what integrity is, how do we get there? How do we arrive at that destination so others will look at us and say, that person is the same every time you see them? How do we become that person? Well, I wrote down eight different things that really qualify someone to be a person of integrity. The first one is this: be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. You see, we need to have an adequate evaluation of who we truly are. We need to decide, all right, am I a person of integrity? Can I look within my heart? Can I look at that mirror? Can I look at my life? And others looking at my life, I need to evaluate how much of a person of integrity I am. I don't know how many like baseball. I've always enjoyed baseball. I don't watch it as much as I used to, but I enjoy reading. And I came across this in a book by Jerry White. And in the book was called Honesty, Morality, and Conscience. And he tells all these stories of people who are of high moral character. And he brings out the name Ted Williams. And Ted Williams, if you know anything about baseball, was a man of integrity and character. He was a great baseball player. Last guy to hit over 400. He always hit over 300 every single season. But then, when he was 40 years old, he had a pinched nerve in his neck. He could barely turn to look at the pitcher, and he hit .254 that year. He was the highest paid man in baseball, making $125,000, which seems like a lot even now, but it was an incredible amount back then. And the Red Sox the next year sent him the same contract for him to sign. He could make $125,000. He wrote a note and sent the contract back to them and said, I will not sign the contract until you give me the allowable pay cut, the highest allowable pay cut that you can give me. And they cut his salary 25% or $31,250. Now, let me ask you this question. That's a man of character. He said, I only want what I'm worth, and I'm not worth that. Now, let me ask you this question. How many athletes today do you think would do that? Well, let me ask you in a different way. How many people would do that? I only want what I deserve. He was honest with himself. He looked within. He said, that's not who I am. I am not that caliber of player anymore. And as believers, we need to be honest with ourselves. Am I that person? Because all the lies that we tell, the most deadly lies, are the ones we tell ourselves. We exaggerate our belief in ourselves. So don't excuse yourself. David once said, God help me in this area. In Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2, it says, O Lord, you've examined my heart and know everything about me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a tough prayer to pray, isn't it? Lord, just examine me and let me know everything about me. You know when I sit down and stand up, you know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And here's where it really gets critical. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the paths of everlasting life. God, I need you to set the example. I need you to evaluate me. I need you to let me know who I am. We need to face the tough questions. God, am I what I should be? And as he evaluates us and we're honest with ourselves, make necessary changes. The second thing that I want to share with you in these eight is tell the truth. Tell the truth. Now listen to these verses that I'm going to point out here in Proverbs. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. And I love Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. You know what? God calls us out to be the type of people that we are to be. And often we won't evaluate ourselves, we won't be honest with ourselves, and we don't tell the truth. Don't you hate it when someone lies to you? Because then you don't know when they're ever telling you the truth. So just tell the truth. And you know something? If you tell the truth, you don't have to look back over your shoulder all the time wondering if your lie is tracking you down. Just tell the truth. Now, there's a couple of ways to do this. And these two are wrong. If you tell the truth without love, you're using truth like a sledgehammer. Don't do that. Don't do that. But don't also just speak out of love without truth. And you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, so you don't tell them the complete truth. Listen, tell the truth, do it in love. Tell the truth, do it in love. Don't beat people up with it. Just be honest with them. If they ask or they say something, tell the truth. Do it with love. Always tell the truth. Third thing I want to point out is keep your word. Keep your word. If I'm supposed to be somewhere, and I've told someone I'm going to be somewhere, do you know what I need to do? I need to be there. I need to be there. If a circumstance arises in which I have no control over, I need to let that person know that I cannot be there. Don't you hate it when someone tells you, you can count on me, and you know in the back of your mind you can't count on them? You know that they're not going to be faithful, they're not going to be there. They don't keep their word because they haven't kept their word in the past. Love the story of, and I love George Washington, reading history about George Washington. He and Lincoln are my two favorite presidents. And before he assumed the presidency of the United States, he wrote these words, integrity and firmness is all I can promise. These, be the voyage long or short, never shall forsake me, although I may be deserted by all men. Now you talk about a person of high moral character. This guy could have become a monarch. All he had to do was stay in office. But he served his two terms and then he went home. Now, why was Washington? Because I was reading and I wondered, why Washington is our first president? Well, I mean, what separated Washington? Because there were better educated people and there were more brilliant people that he was surrounded by. I mean, you think about it. Ben Franklin? My goodness, Ben Franklin was a brilliant man. Thomas Jefferson? James Madison? Monroe? John Adams? These were brilliant men, better educated, more intelligent than Washington. But why did they choose Washington to lead them? And here's what you find when you study the history of George Washington. Because he did what he said he would do. Isn't that amazing? And that he had always done it, so they knew in the future he would do it then. He was a person of character, a person of integrity. Now, in Deuteronomy 7:9, this characteristic, I want you to hear it. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God. Now watch this next line. The faithful God, he is faithful. Now if you want to be like the Lord, if you want to be like God, you need to be faithful. Be faithful. And keep covenants and a mercy for 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. You know what we're to do? We are to keep the command. We are to live the truth. I like the story of the young boy that was interviewing for a job. And the store owner asked the young boy, he said, if I hire you, will you be faithful to be here and will you be truthful? And the young boy responded this way, best response I've ever heard. He said, sir, whether you hire me or not, I am going to be faithful and truthful. So it didn't determine if he was hired. I will be that person. It's not about you hiring me. It's who I am. And that's what God's looking for. The third thing or fourth thing I want to share with you about how we can become people of character and high moral character and integrity is be who you are. Be who you are. Philippians tells us about this. In chapter 1, verse 10, it said, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. Now, I want you to remember that word right there, sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, why am I pointing out that one simple word, sincere? Well, here's the reason. A synonym for integrity is sincere. That's if we're to be sincere. It's like being righteous. The word comes from the old Latin word sinceris or sinceris, which means to be clean and pure throughout. It means there's no impurities there. Now, that word was used in the marketplace of ancient Israel and Rome. And what they would do, they would make this pottery, and they'd fire the pottery. Sometimes it would have a hairline crack. So what they would do, they would take wax, and they would put it in that, and then they would paint over it, and you could hold it up, and you couldn't see that it was cracked. And once the sunlight hit it for an extended period of time, guess what? You had a cracked vessel that couldn't be used for its purpose it was created for. So you had in the marketplace those who had above them sincera, sincere, without wax. It's like being the hypocrite in the Greek play. You put the mask up in front of your face and then you pull it away. You put it up and it's you're not sincere. You're not whole. You're not complete. Now, what we need to understand is we must be authentic. We must be authentic through and through. You know, we should be the same at home as we are at church. We should be the same at work as we are at church. We should be the same wherever we are at. If we're on Facebook or if we're on Twitter or whatever you use these days, you need to think about what you say. You need to be very, very careful. Let me move on. The next, fifth, you need to avoid bad company. You need to avoid bad company. And why? Well, 1 Corinthians tells us, verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now listen, you pick out five people that you're closest to, and I'm going to tell you, you are like them. You are like those that you run with. Don't underestimate the influence of those around you that you're closest with, that you associate with, on you. Listen to me. If they're positive and godly, then you'll be influenced by them. And if they're negative, you'll be influenced by them. I mean, if you are around those type of people, what you need to do, if they make you uncomfortable, if they hurt you, or they mislead you, or they do those type of things in your presence, and they do it to other people, guess what? They will do it to you also. If someone is dishonest with someone else, they will be dishonest with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't do business with them. Don't hang out with them. Don't befriend them. Run. Run. Get away. If you want to build your reputation as a person of high moral character and integrity, you need to surround yourself with people of character and integrity. And if you don't, you're setting yourself up for failure. Next, be faithful. Be faithful. Be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. I love this passage. Moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. Now, what is a steward? A steward is one who takes care of another person's goods. And that's what we're doing here on Planet Earth. We're taking care of the Lord's goods. But it's interesting in that verse, that word found. How can one be found faithful? Well, that word found there is an interesting word in the original language. And it means that it's a result after careful study and observation that they are found faithful. They have observed their lives and they are found faithful. You see, God is watching over us. He sees everything that we say, everything that we do, all of the places we go. God understands and knows it all. Faithfulness is a characteristic. When someone is faithful, you can rely upon them because you can take what they say to the bank. Faithfulness. Faithful. Be found faithful. Now, be strong under fire. Be strong under fire. If we're going to be people of integrity and character, if we're going to be as our text tells us, if we are going to be faithful, have that fruit of the Spirit that's so important out in our lives that others may see us, we need to understand. If we're going to do that, we have to do it over and over and over. Remember the Old Testament story in the book of Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that story? I mean, these men were faithful under fire. They were put through the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar basically gave them two options. Either you bow down or you burn. Simple as that. And they said something in Daniel 3, 17 and 18. If that's the case, he said, if that's our only options, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, but if not, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. In other words, their faith was tested under fire, and they were found faithful. And that's the type of people that God intends us to be. We don't need to compromise our belief. We don't need to vacillate and waffle. We need to be strong and consistent. We'll keep our promises. We'll fulfill our obligations. We'll do what we said because we have integrity. Even when it costs us, we'll do the right thing. And lastly, be accountable to somebody. Be accountable to somebody. I can't overestimate the importance of being accountable. You know, there's over 40 one another passages that I found in the Bible. Over 40. And we're to love one another. We're to instruct one another. We're to be patient with one another, which is sometimes difficult. We're to encourage one another. We're to confess our sins to one another. You know what that tells me? That tells me that the Christian life isn't a lone ranger life. It is a life lived in the context of others. Others. We don't do it alone. We do it together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider one another in order to do what? To stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, you might, in your Bible, you might underscore those two words, to stir. And you know what those words in the original language means? It means to provoke. It means to arouse. And what it means is sometimes integrity needs to be aroused or stirred up in others. And our responsibility as the one another passage is that you and I become that person that stirs it up in others, not just about ourselves. We want others to have character. We want others to have integrity. So we stir it up. I heard David Jeremiah tell this story. Heard it at a conference, and then heard it on the radio. He told this story of a group of salesmen that had been in Chicago for a meeting. And at the end of the meeting, it went a little long, and they were running close to being behind. And they got to the airport at Chicago O'Hare, and they were going through the terminal trying to get down to their gate. And they heard their gate, last call for their flight. So they began to run even faster. And everybody, if you're in the airport, you got to pull behind bag. And they're running faster and faster. And guess what? Two of those men, their suitcases hit this apple cart, and it spilled all these apples into the floor. And they just kept running. And they got to the gate just before the gate closed, and the door was shut, and they were able to board. But there was one of the three that said, "I'll catch another flight." And he went back. And there's a young boy on the ground, and he was searching around for the apples, and immediately the man knew that he was blind. So he knelt down and was trying to help him, and other people were kicking apples out of their way and not stopping to help. And the little boy was crying, and he put all the apples back in the bag, in the baskets, and set the display back up. And there were a number of apples that couldn't be used because they were bruised or damaged or gone. And the little boy was crying, and the salesman opened his wallet. He took out three $100 bills. He placed it in the hand of the boy, and he said, "This will more than cover the damage that we have done to your stand." And he began to walk off, and the little boy, before he got many steps, said, "Mister?" And the salesman turned around. He said, "Yes." And the little boy said, "Are you Jesus?" You know, we're the only hands that Jesus has on this planet. We're the only feet that he has. We're the voice that he has. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to those who love God and those called according to his purpose." But verse number 29 says that we are to be transformed into the image of the Son of God. Now listen, this Christmas, you are his hands. This Christmas, you are his feet. This Christmas, you are his voice. Would you have the faithfulness, the integrity to do the right thing and do it consistently? Now, if you're here today and you've never met Jesus, this is an opportunity. If your heart's stirred and you need to come and give your life to him, I pray that you would do that today. And maybe you're here and you just need to come and kneel at the altar and pray about this issue of integrity. Would you do that today? Because it's a wonderful life if you have integrity. Father in heaven, I pray for your will. I thank you for your grace. And I know you're always present. Draw hearts and lives to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.